Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
MC here, and Leah's back with us today. How you doing today, Leah?
It's been a day, but that is absolutely true. It's been a day. Well, no, I take that back. I'm having an ongoing battle with, there's a lake in front of my house, and both of my neighbors either side of me, one I call Snow White, and I don't have a nickname for the other one on the right, but they always feed these two giant ducks, which means every morning when I open my door, the ducks are out there because they've eaten bread or something, but then they poop right outside your door. And I don't mean like a few steps from your door. I mean, you open the door and your first step is duck poop. So I am now in a battle like every morning to see if I can beat the ducks to their regular schedule, like pooping time, to like make sure they go at least to my neighbor's door. And so far I am losing. It's been 3 days. I have not succeeded. And they won't stop feeding them. I've asked, they won't stop. And they come up to you with like, it looks like I'm in a freaking Disney movie, because they walk up to you, they'll waddle, and so do the squirrels. They'll run up to you and they'll be like, "Ooh," and I'm like, "No, I don't like you guys. You ruined my morning 3 days in a row."
Most of my mornings has just been getting up super early, 7 o'clock, and then in between working 5 hours of sleep. So,
and
he has eyes heavy, and I didn't want to wake up this morning. I was like in a dream. It's like I messed up my dream. I was like, crap, that was actually a good dream. I forgot what it was all about. I wanted to finish it, so it's like, whatever. This is depressing.
No one told us adult life was going to be like this, but here we are.
Yeah, with that, you know, instead of depressing lives, let's do upbeat and adventure. Today's episode is going to be Cyberpunk Edgewaters. And before we get this continued, you can go to us, the podcast near you, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Go to the www.mcanimepodcast.com and also join the Patreon community at Blog MC Anime, where you can find more posts and original content. But further ado, let's get into the episode today. So, Cyberpunk Edgewaters. That's an interesting series. What do you think?
I really enjoyed it. I didn't have much expectations for it. Like, I never played the games or anything. It was
really good to watch.
I didn't watch it all in one sitting like a lot of my friends did. I think I watched like up to episode maybe 5, and then which was fine, because if I would have watched episode 6, I would have wanted to finish it. I don't know anything about Cyberpunk. Well, I do now, but I didn't know anything about Cyberpunk beforehand besides Keanu Reeves being in the Cyberpunk 2077 game, and then that game having a bunch of bugs, so people were super upset about it. But outside of that, no, I went in bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, and left depressed just going through it. So yeah, it was good. It was really, really good.
Yeah, and another reason why I'm super tired is I didn't have nothing else to do, and the only time I had to watch it was last night, so I watched like 3 episodes. It was like, it's 1 o'clock and I get up at 7. So like, it's my day.
Yeah. It's definitely one of those shows that you can, one, it's only 10 episodes. So it's a one and done type of show. And for, I guess before we go in, we should explain what it is. Cyberpunk Edgewaters. So for those who aren't gamers or haven't seen it, Cyberpunk Edgewaters is a video game anime adaptation that is on Netflix. It was created by the studio Triggered, and basically it follows the story of a group of individuals in this futuristic kind of dystopian world. Not that dystopia when you watch it, you'd be like, yeah, this could be America. But basically, it follows the story of a crew that in this world you can get robotic enhancements done to you. And it's very commonplace. So it can go anything from being something that is just aesthetically pleasing to being weapons and all of that. And we follow a boy named David who goes from kind of having somewhat of a life, even though he's struggling and not doing that well, to becoming what is called a edge runner, which is basically someone who commits crimes once they enhance their body with cyber technetics. And the more technology you add to your body, the more robotic add-ons you have, the closer you can get to getting something called a cyber psychosis. So they always are basically running on the edge. You got to have the best technology and the best weaponry so you can commit these jobs and survive in this world. But it also comes at the risk of slowly losing your mind. And you get to watch his journey through a series of 10 episodes as he runs with a crew. They commit different jobs. And at the end, you are left a different person. So
yeah. And also another thing with the cyberpunks, it's basically Grand Theft Auto meets Ghost in the Shell, books it all in one, and you have the adventure of the crime of Grand Theft Auto, then you have the enhancement type cyborg effect like Ghost in the Shell, and you have the androids and robot. So that kind of plays into that technological field with the cyberpunk feel of being hip and new.
The only correction is there's no AI in this one, in the sense that you're thinking.
More like technology and stuff. Futuristic type of deal. Well, I also think it's kind of interesting because, you know, you see the beginning episodes, person going to the academy, which is David, who is actually like in the lower poverty line, but going to a prestigious school and having a mother be able to do that.
Yes.
But he's also delinquent at the same time, and it's undermining his like mom's efforts. So I think that's like an interesting dilemma.
It's not even so much that he's a delinquent. I think it's more that because when we're introduced to him, you see him get in trouble and almost basically get kicked out of school because, you know, when you're in grade school, when you're in high school or college, there might be a new version of a textbook that's out that can be, if you go to college and you need a textbook, it can be anywhere between $100 to $200 for the newest textbook. And if you buy it out of the school bookstore, that's a lot of money. So it's the equivalent of that, but instead it's kind of like a chip that you're supposed to put in to like a USB port on the side of your head. But it's supposed to have you in the most updated software and all that for school. Davey and his mom don't got a lot of money, and she works a lot. But he was trying to have like a knockoff off the street, kind of like fire-broken one. And instead, what ended up happening is it ended up frying the entire class's system because it wasn't compatible. And it seems like this isn't the first time he's done that. He only does it because he doesn't want his mom to use the money that they barely have for a school he doesn't want to be in. But it also causes more trouble than it's worth because he's making it worse. He made it worse.
Well, all these still asking the money. Mom's perspective. She just doing so much effort and time invested in him to this prestigious academy. She wants him to do really well for himself, get to the move up the ranks and, you know, in the system itself and actually be able to achieve something in his life. When he's out of school, he doesn't fit in. He's like an outcast. And just because he doesn't have the money and everything else, it's also like the drive being at school. What's the point of being at the school when the benefit is not there? My mom is struggling to put me into school, and I don't like this place anyway because I don't fit in ever since I've been here mentality.
Yeah, but I think there is also the added layer where something that is, it, you don't maybe get it if you watch the Japanese sub for the show, but if you watch it in dub, it's very clear that that David and his mom, they're Hispanic. So I think it also plays on the fact that she knows what it's like to not have that education and to have to struggle. So she's basically like a paramedic. She's like an EMT. That's her job. So every time big battles, So she's barely just making it. So for her, she wants her son to get a corporate job and to be something that is, you know, a backbreaking labor thing that she does, which is completely fair. And as a parent, you're just basically saying to your kid, if you can just make it through these 4 years, I know it sucks. I know they don't like you. I know it's hard. But if you can make it through these 4 years and get the education, mm-hmm. you can at least get that stepping stone into having... I would rather be disliked but have money than be poor and disliked, because then you feel like you have nothing. So she at least wants him to have some life of comfort, which is why there's that distance there. And it's also two different generations. For Davey, he's young. He's 16 years old. He does not care about having a retirement fund or where he's going to be when he's 40. Every day when you're 16 feels like the longest day of your life. Like, I don't know how many people who listen remember high school or in high school, but high school felt like those 4 years felt so much longer than actually 4 years, and everything more impactful. Because it's literally 1/4 of your life. That's 4 years in high school. You're 16. That's 25% of your life already. It's a lot. It's a lot. So,
all through being 17 and young, motivated, and stuff like that, you kind of want to do your own thing. You also want to be free, be independent, have support when needed, but do things on your own and actually have a individual mentality and, you know, just be yourself. I want to live life how I want. Let me live.
He didn't want to go to work. It's the thing. It's like for him, he saw no purpose in it because he knew he was still going to have to fight stereotypes, fight the corporate ladder, all of that, because of his background and who he was after he graduated. But he was like, why put my mom and make her struggle? Why do I have to put up with all of this? I'd rather just get a job. And so that way the two of us can be making money and taking care of each other than me wasting time in this school where I don't even want to be here. That was his thinking. It wasn't just like young, wild, and free. He did come from a background where he was at the poverty line. So I could totally get why he was like, I'd rather work. I would rather be
McDonald's. And throughout the entire show, we see the definite theme of the poverty line. You know, when they go to the hospital, he can't visit his mother. He doesn't have that in his policy. Let's see. Rent is due. Gets barred from the apartment. Can't get access to it. You know, there's different things that keep happening because you don't have the money is a constant struggle. And the thing with the school. Let's make him stay enrolled in the school. We're just giving him a scholarship. That'll give him come back, right? And then he doesn't come back because he's done with the school. So it really shows on to the principle of no amount of money makes you better. It's about the work ethic to earn the money mentality as well. And also be available to criticism and provide for yourself. Basically, subsistence living.
No, he was just poor. He was poor. Like, if they would have gave him money so he could take care of his mom, that would be different. But it was like, it's not about him having sustenance living or him like feeling fulfilled in what he was doing. It was literally just the fact that those in the cyberpunk universe, what's the name of their city? I've been calling it Circuit City as a joke, and now I can't remember the actual name of it. But whatever the name of the city is in Cyberpunk that they live in, when you look at it from the outside, yeah, it's very glitzy, very glam. You're like, oh, they must have so much cool stuff, but there's so much poverty, and the poverty level of people who are poor is so much higher than the who are rich, that it is overflowing. So even when he becomes like an edge runner and he does have money and stuff like that, there's other issues that exist there. So it's not just a money-based thing, because he, by that point, he had already lost the things that were very important to him. So in this universe, when he leaves the school, he gets in trouble. You see it in episode one. You get this very, I have to say, I watched someone else's review and I laughed because I felt the same way. But like the mom basically was just an, like she just gave a bunch of exposition and like a bunch of like, this is what I want for your son, and then immediately dies. Like they wasted no time. Yeah. And it was like, you watch it and it's not even a spoiler, folks, because there's no way you could have watched it and thought this was going to be a different situation, because mom's driving, just going on and on about how she wants her son to be great and be at the top of Arasaka, yada, yada, yada. Meanwhile, two big old cars with gangsters with big old guns are pulling up on either side of the car, and she's just talking. She's not no peripherals, no looking side to side. Sweetie's on the highway going 45, just ranting at her son. So when the shooting starts and they get in an accident and, you know, the car flips, Davey sees his mom out there. She's laying on the street. The medical team comes. They like, she ain't got that type of insurance. We out. Which is also wild. It's very wild when you watch that they show up to the scene if you're injured, but if they check when they get there that you're not insured, they just go. They like, you're already there. I would rather be in debt and alive than just to die in the street. Sometimes everybody has different perspectives, but that was
everyone had these different income qualifications and the different types of insurance, and by having that type of chip, they immediately identify the people who are less privileged and the ones who are more privileged. They treat the ones that have the higher insurance because that's the higher premium rates, and they know they can get better, more money treating them, while as, you know, the treatment, no insurance, and you had to like go to this back alley doctors, like kind of overkill.
But I mean, I did
mother in the hospital room because you don't have the clearance in the insurance premium to go for visitation. And why does visitation cost more? Like, why does that cost?
Well, that's just an additional thing I think they add to the story to add that heightened level of difference. Because like if it would have been just they didn't take her to the hospital, like that's something that we could easily relate to. People turn down ambulance rides all the time nowadays because it costs like $3,000 just to take it to the hospital. But in this one, they have to heighten it up. So it's like, if they show up and you ain't got the right insurance, they leave. If you go to the doctor that's in your insurance policy and in your plan, there's still extra things that you don't have. So we get that whole first part where we kind of get a good establishing of the world that we're in. It's a very cold, harsh, and things can go real south in the blink of an eye, and there's really not much you can do about it. You either you have the money or the resources or the power to be on the top, or you don't. And I think it was really good at establishing for the audience, and also I think they did a good job for people like me who have never played the game and don't know anything about the game, besides a few like stuff I've seen. It helps you understand what type of world you're in, and that's important. If you don't establish the universe and the world and how things work, you're going to have a tough time keeping people engaged because they're going to be asking a lot of questions. So I think episode one did an amazing job of you know, world building. The city felt alive, and then also kind of giving us establishment of who our main person was.
Yeah, you also have the two-person story building as well, because you only really see two main people. You know, the other people are extra. They're not, like, part of the plot as much. But, like...
How many episodes did you watch?
I watched three.
Okay, that's why. I'm talking about
the first episode. Yeah, so the first episode...
We're reviewing the whole thing, though. And... No. I'm just going to stop you there. No. Even in the first episode, our main person is David. And his mom isn't around for a good chunk of it. And Lucy comes in towards, like, the second half. But, like, a good portion of it is just David. It's literally just David. You can't even say the main two people are anyone else. It's just David.
It's a two-person lens type build-up. Build-up with the mom's interaction, going to the hospital, setting up the plots and tension in the first episode. They do have two-person perspective to build up the story.
They really didn't, because you followed David. I mean, they have a few scenes with the mom on her own. But it's mainly David you follow in episode one. You're not following, like, another character a lot. Like, even from, like, you see the first guy who has a shootout with the cops. Like, we watch everything from his perspective. And then we realize that we're watching basically a VR from, like, with David. Like, David is watching this guy do all this stuff and living it out that way. But it's everything from episode one is basically focused on David. And as you go through the rest of the show, it does delve off to kind of give you insight into these other people. And it doesn't just enough that you come to learn and love the crew that he's with, but we still are watching the narrative from David's perspective and how things are being bounced off of him. So I do think it's very main character focused in that sense.
Yeah, it's just a build up of the exposition and trying to give a tension related plot to build up, you know, something for yourself and motives for the continuing storyline with the building of the apprehensions and the machine-type military-grade weapon he gets access to, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think the first three episodes that we get to see, because it is kind of broken up in a beginning, middle, and end. If you watch the show, again, it's only 10 episodes. It's very succinct, but I think it did a great job showing that you can tell a well fleshed out story without having to have 24 episodes or 20 episodes, which is normal for animes in their first season. So I thought they did a great job with that. And so we get that beginning section where David goes from his normal everyday life that he does every single day to kind of finding this spiral where he doesn't know what to do, how to get money, and kind of being trapped on all sides. And then he makes a drastic change. I'm making this decision type of move that he probably wouldn't have done prior to his mother's death, which I thought was the way they show you how he gets to that point was great. And the way that they build up the growing tensions and stress that actually do exist for a lot of people, where he just kept getting hit with stuff. It was like laundry, rent, school fees, all of that, hospital fees, everything just kept building up. And meanwhile, he has this urn of his mother's ashes, and he has to break into his own home just to figure out what to do. That when he discovers, like, okay, here's this cyber tech.
Yep, the cyber tech for his mom.
Yeah,
it's worth lots of money. It's a military grade system. So he goes with the doc, tries to get money for it in an eventual episode, gets mad at them because they don't want to sell it, and then he wants to sell it because of the rising debt that he has and the rent due and everything requiring more money that now his mother gone doesn't have. So it creates the struggle. It's like, well, if I have to sell it, let's sell it. And then he gets the great idea to implant it in himself as a way just to do it. Just have a fighting chance to have something different.
Yeah. And I think we're going to have to now divvy up this review, where I think we'll discuss the first three episodes for those who haven't seen it. And I'll keep most of the stuff that happens at the end. I'll keep it spoiler free. So everything from episode 4 and forward, I won't go too much in, but we could still talk about silly.
There's a lot
at the top of the show.
There's a lot to talk about in the opening setting because
you haven't finished it yet. So I don't want to spoil it because it's really good to watch it and just experience it. You don't have to do anything.
I really like the atmosphere of it. It really gives off fresh vibes. The animation quality in the show actually presents itself to be futuristic. You also have different modes, and the color splashing does a really good job. You have light and dark day, and then the dark alley setting to the dark night where it's ever changing, but you also have light up and the quick action sequences as well. It hits cyberpunk really well.
No, they captured the entire vibe of cyberpunk. Everyone who's talked about it, no one has even people who have any issues, whether it be with maybe pacing or some of the characters that they didn't like or whatever thing that they were like, this specifically for me, I didn't enjoy. No one has said this is not cyberpunk. If anything, I think they were like, we didn't think it was going to be this good. So they did it. I think after 2077, people were like, anything cyberpunk related is going to kind of be a disappointment. It is what it is. So when it was announced, there wasn't that much hype around it. And now people are getting a chance to see the game that they love. But as an anime and active, and you just kind of get to sit back and watch the tragic beauty of it all. Yeah, it's dope.
The role-playing aspect with the original game was, you design your character, do the enhancements, do how you feel like you want to do it, explore the universe, then the map. Now you're also having a character storyline to go with it. So now you see the world where how they explore their own map and actually interact with other characters and be the edge runner that you were trying to be in the game, trying to actually make the living and trying to do the outlaw activities. And yeah, that's also another adaptation of video game sources to anime does kind of well sometimes is you have the essential character, the main character of the game into the anime, or you have an entirely new character that the game didn't have, but you create a story behind that with the game elements being presented.
Yeah, I do have to say, I think as far as game animation to like anime stuff like that, this one, I would probably have to say it's the best one I've seen so far. Underneath it is probably Arcane. Arcane is really good for like League of Legends. And so, I watched that one too. League of Legends. I know the memes and I make fun of my friends for playing League of Legends just because I can. But I watched the show and I was like, oh, I kind of hyped it up.
Another good community like to resolve to the hack. That's also pretty good too.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. There are good ones out there that are solid and have great animation and storylines, but then also sometimes it has the comic book effect honestly any adaptation can go real south real fast when you put it into a different medium, because sometimes what is represented in books isn't great for movies. Things that are great for anime do not translate well into live action. And so, but I think video games and anime is as close as you're going to get to kind of keeping them similar, because you already have visuals involved. But for this one, I think they nailed the story. There is a game for Cyberpunk Edgerunners, so people are like, oh. And the main song, the main song which is like, what is it? It's like,
yeah, I really like that
room. It's such a good song. I've never heard it before. And I listened to it. And again, I'm watching this as someone who never played the game. In the 2077 game, I guess when, like, in, you know how you said it's like Grand Theft Auto. So you're going around the city, going to go commit whatever task or mission. And that song plays, like, I guess the city just plays music while you're riding around and in between missions. And that song plays, and no one really thought about it that much. And then this shit came out, and they have somehow now attached all of this emotional damage, like emotional damage to this song. And so the funniest thing I've seen is like TikToks where people are trying to play Cyberpunk 2020 now, and the song comes on, like the theme song of the show comes on, and they're just like, no, no, but turn it off. And you can't. You just got to ride through and just be sad.
So wait, okay, the theme song of the show ain't that bad for them to play it. I mean, even if it's in the background, who cares? It's part of the game. It's part of what the game was. But no. Now they're switching with the show because now the game is, I guess.
That's how good the show is, though. And that's, that's a victory of the animation studio. Like, Trigger did a really good job.
Does really well, though, in the animation
studio. Yeah. Because they did Gurren Lagann. So, like, I was like, oh, this is dope. So you're watching it. And again, if you played the video game beforehand for 2077, it went back up to number one on Steam because people went and re-downloaded it because it had so many bugs in the game and they were so hyped up. It's like, oh, Keanu Reeves is going to be one of the many people that we get to play with. This is during the John Wick era. And then the game had so many bugs that people really didn't get through more than 20 hours of gameplay and had way more than that before deciding, like, this is not worth it. This is just frustrating to even sit through. So for people to go back because they watched this show and decide they're willing to suffer through that again, even though a lot of the bugs have been fixed and taken out, the fact they were willing to go back, and it completely made the whole fandom be like, oh, hold on. This is why I love this show. This is why I love this game. Why I love this story. That's a good job. And so that's number one video game adaptation.
I also feel like it's like, you know, the players who played it before and going back also have like a resemblance to what the old game was, and with the everything being fixed and the show being a positive light for the franchise, also boost the morale of playing the game and also accessing the game in a way that's more beneficial than previously announced when the delays and the shortcomings of development were in play, like 3 months ahead of schedule. No, they were 3 months, like, way prematurely when they published the game, and it took some time to fix the bugs and the issues to now to actually have the game being successful with a reboot of the game with the show. It gives like a fresh quality.
Yeah.
I mean, I actually really liked the game when I was like looking to the playthroughs and the walkthroughs about it and reading about it. I think it's really immersive. Like, you can get deep into the game like Grand Theft Auto is, but also there is so much more to do. Like the enhancements, the type of life, the character, the edge runner. The most of the city backgrounds, like, there's a lot of detail that you can get, that you can do that actually benefits you in playing the game longer. It provides like the longevity of playing it.
Well, I mean, I think back in fix the bugs, kind of it helped. Like, it's been enough time since 2077 came out that there's enough time to go back there and fix most of the complaints. So now people can just play it with that added benefit, and it does wipe away the aggravation that they had the first time they went in. That's the main thing a lot of people have said, is that if you were mad at the game for not being as good as you thought it would, you're going to get over if you've watched like Edge Runners. When you go back, now you're just thinking about the show. Now you just got all the emotions for the show, and you just want to go out there and be like David. So
That also brings into the question of, should a game be delayed to fix the bugs, or should the game be fast forward and,
you know, how is that a progression? That's not even a question. Everyone has a, that's not even a question.
Well, a lot of people get mad at the game being delayed, so they want the game as fast as possible. So when the content developers do the game, sometimes that is the price to pay for shortcoming the game quality.
Yeah, but they're not saying that they want the game faster, but with bugs.
Yeah.
People are just saying that they want the game out now and they need to hurry up and fix it. You get, like, they got all this money for funding. They just need to get the game out. Those aren't the same thing, because that's not what people wanted with 2077. And I mean, it's the same with Grand Theft Auto. Every time we get teased with a new Grand Theft Auto coming out, and it's been years, like, and they say, sorry, we got a delay because of a bugs or whatever. People aren't saying, man, just drop it. It's fine. No one is saying that, because you're going to be mad when you spend, you know, $50-$60 for a game and you can't even get 20 hours out of it before you're like, forget it. Especially if it has an open world feel to it. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
That's not even close to like a question. That is undoubtedly get the game right, or like at least try and do it within a scope that you can actually achieve. That's more realistic.
But I also feel like the game developers also have a lot of pressure to do all the bugs and fix them in a timely manner too.
Yeah.
And also fix and going about it to fix it.
Yes. That is their job. Yes.
And sometimes they respond really good. Sometimes they respond very slow.
Yeah, have anything to do with Cyberpunk, though. That sometimes it's definitely based on the studio, which is why this show is like, yes, it's good as it already is. And I have to say, for me, if I didn't know anything about Cyberpunk 2077 having such a bad reaction and people being upset with it, and I just kind of watched it. Like, if I had never heard of Cyberpunk before, just in general, I would still think this is a really good show. I would still be like, oh, I mean, I wish this was kind of different, or I wish that. But that's my own personal preference. But overall, I think it's an amazing show, and it's gorgeous. The added part of it, like, making a game that people thought was so bad that they're just... It was just a game that people were disappointed in. They were upset, but mostly they were disappointed. For people to get past disappointments to go back to it, it's what makes it, in my opinion, even better than just a great show for newbies. It's a dope product. It's like, it's the greatest thing that could have happened to Cyberpunk, because now they kind of get a fresh start on their reputation again. Now people are back in love with the fandom in the world.
And it might drive more fandom with more, you know, more months to come to play the game and to be like a successful after the fact, after the show's success. Because sometimes shows or different source material does promote it, the original material, in a better light. And this is one case where that does that.
I also feel
like it, you know, following the narrative, David's kind of cool, because the original game didn't really have that narrative. So it also gives like a unique quality to the show to be different from the game.
Yeah, well, you kind of get a new story.
Well, I'm also more happy that they didn't like try to do like a storyline more similar to the game, and they actually did their own. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it does. I mean, I don't think I would be opposed, though, if I already knew what the story was going to be, even if they made it into an animation from the video game.
Yeah.
I don't think I would be upset, because again, the story was really well done. And if the story is like that in the game, or one of the indies in the game, then I wouldn't be upset. But I do have to say, having it be completely new also gives something for people who have already played the video game. Whichever edition of the game they played, it gives them something new to watch and an extra bit of like lore and storytelling that they didn't have beforehand.
Yeah, that's usually what happens with adaptations. You have a different perspective, different narrative, and though different enough in the sequel and franchise attempt to be standalone in both parts. And I also feel like cyberpunk captures like aesthetics of high school life in a way that's more pressure to do all the best you can scenario, and not only be the better quality of yourself, but doing the work necessary to do it.
Explain that again.
So basically, you have the philosophy of you should do good in school, persevere through it, work hard towards the goal of what is actually for education supposed to be, make something out of it, and then appreciate it after the fact.
Okay. Yes, I could agree with that. I was a bit confused, but no, I can agree with that. I mean, it would be nicer if it's like appreciated all the way through, rather than in like a circle back effect, but you can't always have that. I mean, in this regard, even if you just watch the 3 episodes, you can kind of see how much effort and heart was put into it. And also, thank God, like a budget, like a real budget. Like you got this beautiful product. So yeah, you can do that circle back effect.
And you also have different depictions of your roles in society. Where do you fit best? Where do you want to be? How do you see yourself doing these things to be, quote unquote, living your life?
I mean, also finding the purpose for your life, which is it's a big theme in this show. You can already pick that up kind of in the very beginning episodes in the first 3.
David's also a coming of age story.
Oh, absolutely. It's a coming of age story in a world that is a lot harsher and crueler than ours, I would say, in our day-to-day living. But it's also something that when you watch it, you can see a lot of similarities from strife that you probably felt when you were younger. But these are, in of course, much more dangerous, much more hectic and like adult-themed wave. And it's also a very explosively violent show that they don't shy away from that. And I also enjoyed that because they give you that fun. And again, you're 3 episodes in, so you're seeing more of the fun now that he's kind of joining up with the crew and getting into that, and you're meeting all the main in ensemble. But you still get to watch David like become who he wants to become, or who he thinks he should become. That's something that I think everybody can really get behind, because it's sad. It's very sad because you're already watching someone who started off already in a tough position, because where he grows up and where he lives, there's like bums who sleep outside his place. He doesn't even take the stairs to get down from the second story. He like jumps into a pile of trash. It's like they make very, very sure that you understand he doesn't have this great life, and he is an outcast. He's an outsider. And so when that's taken away from him, if you try to imagine yourself at 16, even when you thought things were tough, everything being stripped away from, even the stuff that was difficult for you, school was difficult, you know, being poor with his mom was difficult, feeling alone was difficult, but all of that was then taken from him, and he has to start anew with none of the things he had before. That type of coming to me, just like, it's perfectly cyberpunk. It's cruel, it's just no sympathy, and it doesn't matter what age you are, you have to figure it out.
And the violence in the episodes do not take away from the cyberpunk feel of the harsh reality. It actually, I was reading another article about it, when the violence actually gives the storyline, it actually promotes it in a way to make it more surreal. It gives it meaning. It actually gives more to what the actual story is trying to do and convey it more methodically and placed out, and it's more like it fits into the nature of what the show is trying to tell in Cyberpunk's Edgerunner in that quality.
Well, yeah.
And I don't feel bothered by the violence, though. Like, it just feels like it's part of the universe. Like, I mean, like, sometimes you feel like violence is too much and takes away from the storyline. It actually gives it so much quality of life in it. It just makes it feel real.
Well, that was the main thing that I think the big focus and a big attention to that you needed for Cyberpunk to work is that not only the city, but the atmosphere and the world that they live in had to be its own character, which you can argue that in other shows that do have hyper-violence, that is the case. Like, but if you're looking at something that is a Game of Thrones, the show went on for such an amount of time that there were at certain points where people were like, just violent for the sake of violence. And like the same with The Walking Dead. Yes, the world absolutely felt like its own character. It felt like this infamously like up and down roller coaster or tidal wave of on salt and trying to survive, and then you get these kind of lulls and it starts to build back up again. So, but in this one, it there feels like a consistency of danger and threat and fear and all of that. So even when something happens, someone gets hurt, someone gets killed, it doesn't feel like that was something they did just for shock value. And I think the only one that I will say, like, okay, that one felt like more of a shock value one. I think what it did is like reestablished. Don't y'all forget where y'all at. Like, y'all may have never been here before, but let's remember where we're at. And I really appreciated that. And so even though it felt like, okay, maybe this was one of the only deaths that I would be like, okay, really? You didn't have to do that. But they did it so that way you stay within the theme and the energy of the story that's being presented to you. And not every show could do that. Also, it was only 10 episodes, so they had a lot of freedom to go wild.
And also the animation style reminds me of Battlefront Blockade kind of thing, where they set up the story in, you know, a giant hole of aliens coming in and the eyes seeing everything, the untempered eyes being the power, and seeing the just depravity of the situation kind of like gets me into a similar role mindset of that show.
I think that the world absolutely helps, and I think the ongoing themes also help. For the show, The Enemy, that you mentioned, I haven't seen that one. But in the same sense, I think also the dialogue and the way that the characters interact is also really important, which is really well done in Cyberpunk. And I'm guessing also in your example too, it has to be well done, because that can also pull you out. Nothing is worse than bad dialogue. And I think this one did a really good job of terminology and slang that they use. They didn't ever first off, let's address the fact that whether you watch the first three or you watch the 10, they never explain to you what certain stuff means. They never explain. You just have to pick up by context. And that to me felt like that was a big chest out, confident move to do by the studio to not explain what some of the slang is. Like, they never explain what a chum is. It's used in almost every context, like whether they're cussing at somebody or talking to a friend or a delivery person. It's like, I don't know what chum means.
Here's another idea. Mm-hmm. They don't explain what it means because in the game, the people that play it have that slang inside of the game. So they're connecting to the universe that's already pre-created, and we don't understand it as much, so we have to infer based on the little information that we have.
I literally just said that, but yes, it's not just inferring from it. It's it's making it where the world already feels realer than what we might normally get. Normally, there's an exposition character, or the character you're following doesn't know what that thing means, so it has to be explained to them and like translated to them. You don't get that with this show. They don't explain terms. They might explain one thing or two in regards to someone's background or like an experience that was only specific to that person, and no one else knows what they're talking about. That's the only time you really get that like hand-felled exposition. But they don't do that with the slang. The slang is what it is. Like it is what it is. So either you just accept it and you can focus on the show, or it's going to keep distracting you and you're probably just going to Google and look it up. Like there's that one part where they mention something about the old net and you don't know what any of that means, but because it's in context to one specific person, it's explained in that situation. But the common thread words that are used by everyone, they didn't even bother. They said, figure it out.
Pretty much. And, I mean, yeah, they tell you to figure it out and also go with the flow. But you also have to know that the culture of cyberpunk, to a viewer that didn't play the game, can be more difficult to understand. So, them creating the narrative of the game, atmosphere, and the environment in a similar way of when the game was launched is actually striking to the fact that it has so much homage to what the game was.
Yeah.
Tribute to what it was and how it played and how the universe building to the game is still present into the animated show. They basically took one world building experience, put in a transition period, and knew exactly how to tell the narrative and still present it to a similar feeling of the game.
Which is what made it successful, and it made it what it needs to be. If they didn't make that full commitment, I don't think that we would be sitting here talking about it, even in the limited context of why it worked and why it was so good. Yeah, you have to go 100%, or it's not going to work at all.
Yeah, I agree. If you don't do the effort into making it, then you basically don't have anything at all. And the show is mean effort because of, well, also, you know, the having Trigger being able, the studio being able to portray certain elements of the game into an actual adaptation of a show is kind of hard to do, because video games are actually harder to make into adaptations well of the other source material, because there's so much more lore that you can't cover an entire show.
Well, yeah, it's knowing what to keep in and what to take out, but I think it's also, some of it's just over the top, you know? Some of it is just very over the top, or it can be very repetitious. So if keeping it succinct, like the new Halo show that's out, which people are like, this is not good, it's not a good show. That was one of the issues, is that the show had a bunch of stuff kind of packed in there. It didn't feel like it was completely matching up with what they knew Halo to be, or the books or the games. And then you still have to learn about this whole story plot that they're throwing at you. And that can just throw a lot of people off. If I'm already confused on the aspects from the game that you decided to keep in this TV show, and you want me to learn a new storyline, I'm just gonna go play the game. Like, where I was happy. Yeah. I'm not gonna jump back in.
Yeah. You'll jump back into what you originally knew. And for this particular show, what people originally knew was actually more negative what the show actually presented. Well, they had certain expectations for what the game design was, but they were limited in the playability because of certain features within the game not finished or not fixed. So it caused a rift when you try to play it. And that's another thing to take in consideration for gaming. Gaming is a niche field for entertainment for the simple fact that you can play hundreds of hours in one single game. And if the storyline's immersive enough, you can create a really interesting rippling effect and to keep playing and keep having the player play in it, play out, day out, and day in and day out.
I mean, it almost
gives as if that is what they want you to do. Because, you know, in gaming, they want you to spend so much hours on it to buy the extension version or the new version of the game. That's how they continue the sales. Yeah. And, you know, attracting new people to play it.
Yeah, I mean, also a portion of it is just playability. You don't want a game that's too short. Like, you want a decently timed out game, and depending on what genre that you're playing that game in, like, if I'm playing, like, a more, like, indie, lackadaisical game, I don't know if I'm going to want it to be over 100 hours of gameplay, unless it's something that's open world, like Stardew Valley or something like that. But if it's like an indie game where it's maybe not, it doesn't have as much movement, the mechanics aren't that well, and it's more limited in how much voice acting and choices are made and done, yeah, I would be fine if it's shorter. But if it is a story saga type game like Halo, yeah, you want it to have all the stuff packed in there. If you're playing COD, if you're playing like The Witcher or whatever, you want the story to feel full and you want it to feel whole. So I find it in the middle. And also, people just want to play video games. People just love like chilling and playing video games. It's a very therapeutic yet aggressive pastime for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
A lot of folks.
I mean, oh yeah, you know, the stress and that you release is really good. You know, maybe not the eyes focus on the screen too long, but there's ways to still connect that problem. But also at the same time, you know, you invested as a player, and that's the attachment to the entertainment of gaming. You as the player are a part of it. You are immersed into what the story is about, into the playing ability, to the multiplayer, to the different features that make you enjoy it. And in the overall scheme of things, how you seem to like it is how you choose to spend your time with it. And there's so many versatile methods in gaming that you can enjoy that it creates the culture within itself, pouring in, and you don't know what to expect until you do it. And go into it.
Yeah. But I mean, to bring it back to the topic of today, for the Cyberpunk and for Edge Runners, I think in regards to show capturing the story, and even if you're doing a comparison for how long you can play Cyberpunk and how many gameplay hours are in there in comparison to the 10-episode show, I think the show is the perfect amount of time. I don't think that they overdid it or made it too long or made it too short. I think it's that sweet spot of making you fall in love and enjoy the world, knowing that it is a very harsh environment, and then stopping it right where they need to. So that way, yeah, you are left wanting more, and that's why you go back to the game. But at the same time, you also can't argue with where they decided to leave things off. So if we're talking from video game lens to show lens, I think this one did it really well. I don't know if there's going to be another season of Arcane. I don't know. I have no idea. I never looked that one up. But I know this one is a one and done. They might make a second thing, maybe for 2077 at some point based on the reaction from this one. But I doubt that one is going to be past 10 episodes either.
I mean, if another continuation of Cyberpunk Edgeworld will come up, I don't really think it would be a show format. It would probably be a standalone movie. It would be like a movie format. If they do another project, the only way of actually be different would be a movie.
I'm not talking about them making it different. In your way of saying, like, sometimes games just run long, so that way they can get you to do the DLC or spend more money or whatever. In this case, I don't think that they would do that, but tarnish it because it's done so well. They would probably make something for the other content that's out there for it. There's other games and there's other stories that they can do that doesn't have to be directly Edge Runners. It might just be the Cyberpunk collection that they've done before, but telling a completely different story. I don't think they're going to do a movie, though.
So yeah, this is our reaction to Cyberpunk Edge Runner and its capability of the game to the show and the anime itself and how it presented itself. I feel like it did really well. The imagery, the world building, the transitions from the video game to the anime, capturing the same qualities of the game to the anime, also having a feel-real experience in the world itself, and the immersive design that it stands alone is evident of the fact that now you have a show that is reboosting the morale of the player base that used to play the game, and also attracting new fans to the new fandom, and actually going back to what the game was, and also having an environment to be able to do that with. Any final thoughts about Edge 10 Cyberpunk?
I mean, you should finish the show. That's important. And anyone who hasn't seen it should definitely go and check it out. Go watch it. And again, I didn't watch it all the way straight through. It's not necessary for you to do so. And if you don't have any background on it, just like me, you can go in blind and just watch it from what you may have seen or maybe what you've heard. And there's still so much from the show that hasn't even been covered in this. So it's still going to surprise you. It's still going to be interesting. And also, it's got a fantastic soundtrack. The music scoring on this is
A1. I love music too.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, but yeah, that's it for me.
Another example of a show doing well with music, build building, environment, and a storyline that will keep you in sync. Mm-hmm. So, without ado, here's the conclusion of this particular episode of Cyberpunk Edge Runner and its amazing qualities in the show that it offers. And before we go, you can do the podcast near you to do more updates of MCMA podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio. Join us on the website to have more information at www.mcmapodcast.com, where we will post and do live episode reels. And join us on the Patreon community to, if you like us and support us, wish new ideas, blog and podcast and guest appearances and more. So see you guys, and hope it's good.
See you guys.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.